a passion for that as we open up your scriptures now. May you be our guide. May you be our teacher. Jesus, remind us of the things that we ought to know as your followers. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 71 today. Psalm 71. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the moderating temperatures. It's nice to open the windows and let the fresh air in. It's been great. But we're in Psalm 71 today, and we'll be starting in verse 14 for our passage to launch our fall as we kick off things for the fall semester here. And let's hear what the psalmist says to us. Psalm 71, verse 14. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who've done great things, O God, who is like you? You who've made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you've redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. May the Lord add his blessing, the reading and the hearing of his word this morning. Several years ago, the fast food chain Chick-fil-A put out an excellent training video on how to see the needs of those people in the stores that come to Chick-fil-A, trying to train their people to understand that there are people right in front of them who might have a story. And for us, as we watch a little video clip, I want you to see this. There are people all around us who have a story of their own. Take a look.
Thank you.
life has a story. There are people, you know, all around you, even right now, who are hurting and are in desperate need of a touch from God through you today. Everyone around us needs to hear about who our God is. We ourselves have a story to tell, and we need to tell of His grace and His mercy. And as we'll see today, people need to know that we have an enduring hope that and that we've experienced His perfect love and He has saved us from so much. We need to tell of His presence and power. Our God is all-powerful. Our God is righteous. Our God does incredible things and He will never forsake us. We need to tell of His comfort and guidance as He gives us life in the midst of our struggles and brings us up from the pit. He restores us and comforts us. We need to tell of His faithfulness and goodness in that He will always be there for us and He has freed us from all of our sin. We need to tell of His provision and protection as He provides for us all day long and defends us from all our enemies. We all have a story, and our God is so worth talking about to all who will listen. We need to get the word out. That's what we're talking about today, getting the word out. The key words in our passage have to do with communicating truth about who our God is to the next generation. Throughout the passage, you will see communication words like praise, tell, remind, proclaim, and talk. These words occur 9 times over 10 verses. So this is a very important teaching for us as we learn to get the word out today. Throughout the passage, we are told to tell about the wonders of our God. Could we tell even one person about the wonders of our God this week? That's my challenge for you today, just to talk to one person this week about the wonders of your God. We'll look at 5 pairings of these attributes that describe our God, attributes that our world desperately needs to hear about and who God is today. But before we begin our study, would you please pray with me? Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we look to your truth today, we ask that you would be our teacher, that you would be our guide. Lord, we want to hear from you today, not from this speaker. We want to hear from you and what you have to say. So Lord, speak to us that we might hear your truth through the power of your Holy Spirit as we look to your word for knowledge, information, insight. Lord, we ask that you would move in our hearts and our minds, that we might be shaped and molded and changed by you today. So Lord, thank you for this moment, this brief moment this week that we can spend with you, contemplating what you have to say about these things. Thank you, Lord, for attending to even us. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name this morning. Amen. In your sermon service materials this morning, you received an outline for the message. I encourage you to take that out and follow along with me as we study. Here's the first pairing. We're told in this psalm to tell of His grace and mercy. Tell of His grace and mercy. First of all, here we have an enduring hope. Did you see this? But I will hope continually. I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. I will hope continually. We ourselves can sometimes run out of gas, right? We run out of money. Sometimes we run out of friends. We run out of energy. But there will always be more of God. You'll never be able to come to the end of Him. You can never run out of God. This is why we can hope in Him continually. We can hope continually precisely because He is within Himself a never-ending resource. He is an ever-present fountain of provision and sustenance for both body and soul. We have an enduring hope. Notice the psalmist's response. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. That's what our heart should be about who our God is, in terms of His being a never-ending resource. Secondly, we have experienced a perfect love. We're telling of His grace and His mercy, and we have experienced a perfect love. Notice what it says in verse 15, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts. And from the writer's perspective, we might ask, what righteous acts? We could think of the sparing of Noah and his family, or the parting of the Red Sea with Moses, or many other things that we can list, but the ultimate righteous act from God is love through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that Christ died in our place. He died in your place, my place. Jesus himself said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater righteous act than this. My mouth will tell of his righteous acts. It was a perfect love demonstrated for us. John reminds us in 1 John 4, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. My mouth will tell. I'm going to talk about what Jesus did for me, this incredible righteous act where he laid down his life for me. We have experienced incredible grace and mercy in that he died for us. We have experienced his perfect love completely. We have an enduring hope. We've experienced a perfect love. And thirdly here, we have been saved from so much. Have you ever thought about this? About how much you've been saved from? Notice what it continues to say. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. All the things God has done to save you. And we ask the question, well, saved from what? Saved from our sin. Saved from hell. Ultimately, we are saved from God's wrath. This is why we need to talk to people about this. Scripture demonstrates that if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only have you been saved, you are in the process of being saved, and you will indeed be saved. You see, he received the wrath that we should have received. It won't be on the screen, but listen closely to what Paul says in Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. You see, that's where we were. We were rebellious children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He saved us. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Oh, beloved, we have been saved from so much. We have experienced his perfect love. We have an enduring love. We need to tell of his grace and mercy to those around us. Secondly, this morning, we need to tell of his presence and his power. His presence and his power. First of all, here, our God is all-powerful. Look at verse 16. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. We see further in verse 18, he talks of God's might and his power. God is all-powerful. He is sovereign. He is in control. We can rest in his sovereign hand no matter what is going on in our world. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6:15, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Our God is so powerful, but we don't believe that sometimes. We don't believe that he's all powerful. Sure, we believe that he is. Sure, we might believe that he loves us, but for some reason we're not sure he's powerful enough to make a difference, and so we doubt. Oh, that we would understand and hold on to not only his power, but his love simultaneously. Because both things are true, that he loves us and he has the power to make the difference. Secondly, our God is righteous. Several times this psalm speaks of this. In verse 16, it goes on, I will remind them, I'm going to tell people, I'm going to remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. He is holy. He is holy. He is holy. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Our God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't misrepresent the truth. He keeps his promises. He does what he says, and what he says, he does. He's not a man that he should lie. He is all powerful. He is righteous. And thirdly, our God does incredible things. Look at verse 17. Oh God, from my youth you've taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Wondrous deeds? Well, like what? What kind of deeds has God done? Well, Pastor John Piper wrote an article several years ago. As he was contemplating this very thing, he was reflecting on Job 5, verse 8 through 10. In Job 5, 8 through 10, it says, "But as for me, I would seek God and would place my cause before God, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields." Now, when John Piper was studying that, he's kind of like wondering, well, how is it that rain is such a big deal? You know, God does incredible things. Yeah, he makes it rain. If you said to someone, this is what John Piper writes, if you said to someone, my God does great and unsearchable things, he does wonders without number, and they responded, really? Like what? What would you say? Rain? In Job's mind, rain really is one of the great unsearchable wonders that God does. But is rain a great and unsearchable wonder wrought by God? Picture yourself as a farmer in the Near East, far from any lake or stream. A few wells keep the family and animals supplied with water. But if the crops are to grow and the family is to be fed from month to month, water has to come on the fields from another source. From where? Well, the sky. The sky. Water will come out of the clear blue sky. Well, not exactly. Water will have to be carried in the sky from the Mediterranean Sea over several hundred miles and then be poured out from the sky onto the fields. Carried? Well, how much does it weigh? Well, if 1 inch of rain falls on 1 square mile of farmland during the night, that would be 27,878,400 cubic feet of water, which is 206,300,160 gallons, which is 1,650,501,280 pounds of water. Well, that's heavy. So how does it get up in the sky and stay up there if it's so heavy? Well, it gets up there by evaporation. Really? Well, that's a nice word. What's it mean? It means that the water sort of stops being water for a while so it can go up and not down. I see. Then how does it get down? Well, condensation happens. Well, what's that? Well, the water starts becoming water again by gathering around little dust particles between 0.00001 and 0.0001 centimeters wide. Well, that's small. Well, what about the salt? Salt? Yes, the Mediterranean Sea is salt water. Well, that would kill the crops. What about the salt? Well, the salt has to be taken out. Oh, so the sky picks up 1 billion pounds of water from the sea and takes out the salt and then carries it for 300 miles and then dumps it on the farm. Well, it doesn't dump it. If it dumped 1 billion pounds of water on the farm, the wheat would be crushed. So the sky dribbles 1 billion pounds of water down in little drops, and they have to be big enough to fall for 1 mile or so without evaporating and small enough to keep from crushing the wheat stalks. How do all these microscopic specks of water that weigh 1 billion pounds get heavy enough to fall, if that's the way to ask the question? Well, it's called coalescence. What's that? It means the specks of water start bumping into each other and join up and get bigger. And when they are big enough, they fall. Just like that? Well, not exactly, because they would just bounce off each other instead of joining up if there were no electric field present. What? Never mind. Take my word for it. I think instead I will just take Job's word for it. I still don't see why drops ever get to the ground, because if they start falling as soon as they are heavier than air, they would be too small not to evaporate on the way down. But if they wait to come down, what holds them up till they are big enough not to evaporate? Yes, I'm sure there's a name for that too. But I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied now that by any name, this is a great and unsearchable thing that God has done. I think I should be thankful, lots more thankful than I am. Grateful to God for the wonder of rain. Our God does incredible things. He is righteous. He is all powerful. And fourthly, our God will never forsake us. Look at verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me. Until I proclaim your might. I just want to have enough time to proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. So even to old age and gray hairs. Gray hairs? You know, what gray hairs? I don't have any hair. The idea that God will never leave us or forsake us appears over and over again throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy 31:8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. In Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you, Joshua. You all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. The psalmist adds, Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Oh, beloved, our God will never forsake us. He does incredible things. Our God is so righteous. He is all-powerful. We need to tell of his presence and his power this morning. Thirdly, we need to tell of his comfort and his guidance. He gives us life in the midst of our struggles. Look at verse 19. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? By the way, this is the centerpiece of this particular psalm, this question, oh God, who is like you? And what's the answer to that? No one. No one is like our God. We need to tell of his comfort and guidance in that he gives us life in the midst of our struggles. You who've made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again in verse 20. Yes, he is the one who allows us to see many troubles and calamities, but he also promises to always lift us up and revive us again from them. The promise from God is not that he would remove our difficulties, but rather that he will always see us through them. And I ask you, what sovereign calamity is God allowing in your life right now, right this moment? Let him be the one who brings you life in the midst of your struggles. Tell of his comfort and guidance. Secondly here, he brings us up from the pit. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again, the psalmist writes. Have you been there? All hope is fading. Everything just seems to be becoming darker and darker. You feel like you've been thrown into a pit with no way out, yet he's the one who will always lift us up. Peter reminds us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. He is the one who brings us up from the pit as we humble ourselves before him. He is the one who gives us life in the midst of our struggles. Thirdly, he is the one who restores us. Look what it says in verse 21. You will increase my greatness. Greatness here. We kind of think, well, that seems kind of weird. I don't want to be arrogant or anything. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about increasing strength, increasing power, restoring power back to where I once was. I will increase, you will increase my greatness. You'll put me back to where I was. Peter again reminds us in 1 Peter 5, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, praise God. He's the one who restores us. And fourthly here, he comforts us. He gives us life in the midst of our struggles. He brings us up from the pit. He restores us and he comforts us. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again, the psalmist writes. He is the God of all comfort, as Paul reminds us. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. This is an incredible truth. As we go through life and we're working through our difficulties, our hardships, and we feel beaten down as we struggle through difficult situations and trials, yet He is still there comforting us, upholding us, helping us along the way. This is our God. This is the God that we need to be talking about to all who will hear. Tell of His comfort and His guidance as He gives us life in the midst of our struggles, as He brings us up from the very pit, as He restores us and comforts us with only the comfort that He can comfort with. Lastly, I should say, second to lastly this morning, tell of His faithfulness and goodness. First of all, here He will always be there for us. Did you see that in verse 22? I will also praise you. To praise, I'm going to have to talk about it. For me to praise you with the harp for your faithfulness. Oh my God, I will sing praise to you with the lyre. Oh, Holy One of Israel, I need to praise you. I need to lift up your name, exalt you. Why? For your faithfulness. You are faithful. Things and people will let you down, won't they? All sorts of daily disappointments we encounter. Your phone lights up and you think you got a text, but it's actually a notice saying that you've run out of data. And you grab your favorite box of cereal in the pantry only to find out it's already empty from somebody else. When you have just enough change for the vending machine and then your snack gets stuck on the way down in that bin thingy. When you get the wrong bag of food in the fast food drive-thru and you've already pulled away before you notice. Or when the tab thingy breaks off your soda can while you're trying to open it and you're super thirsty. Or, I hate this when you break your plastic fork. I hate that. Biting into that awesome looking cookie only to discover those chocolate chunks are really raisins. Or after a rough night, you finally fall asleep and your alarm goes off and it's already time to get up. Ugh. A lot of things that will let us down, but God will never, ever let us down. He will always be there. The psalmist speaks of God's faithfulness. Webster defines faithfulness this way: loyal, firm in keeping promises or in fulfilling duties, firm in one's allegiance to someone. He, our God, is most loyal, most firm in His allegiance toward you. He will always keep His promises. He will always be there for us. We need to tell of His faithfulness and His goodness. He will always be there. Secondly, He has freed you from sin. He has freed us, all of us, from sin. Notice what the psalmist writes in verse 23. My lips will shout for joy. I will sing praises to you, my soul also, which you've redeemed. This is fantastic. This is something that we totally undervalue. Do you realize that if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed. You've been cleansed of all unrighteousness and are now free to walk in newness of life in righteousness with Him. Even now, if you're still wallowing in your sin, you are so living beneath your means. In John 8, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So be free. Be free from your sin. Be redeemed. Be a redeemed people. This morning you need help walking away from your sin. Get help. Get the help that you need. You are free. You have all the freedom in the world in Christ to finally walk rightly. There is victory. It's found at the foot of the cross over sin. Lastly this morning, tell of His provision and His protection. First of all, here He provides for us all day long. All day long. That's what the psalmist says. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. He's helping me all day. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And He does give us our bread and so much more. He is literally helping us all day long. And we need to talk about it all day long with all that He does all day long for us. He's given you your faith. He's blessed you with your family. He's blessed you with His Word, His Spirit in you, the hope of glory. He's blessed you with love. He's helped you in so many things. He's a very present help in times of trouble. He even helps us in our suffering. Then there's all of creation that He's given us and blessed us with. He helps us with our inabilities and our inadequacies. He is sovereign and all-powerful, as we've mentioned. He is upholding all things even right now, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. We need to tell of His provision and His protection as He provides for us all day long. And lastly, He defends us from our enemies. For they've been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Oh, praise God. Who are your enemies right now? Who are you battling? Who are you fighting with? Who's giving you a hard time? Who are those who sought to do you hurt? In God's time, they will be put to shame. They will be the ones who are disappointed. Do you really need to do anything? No. He's God. God can handle those who are giving you the hardest time. He can handle them even better than you can. He defends us from our enemies. He provides for us all day long. We need to tell others about all of this. And my encouragement to you, my challenge to you, dare I say, is could you just tell one person about the wonder of our God this week? Could you talk to one person? But you might say, well, what if no one wants to hear our message? Or what if our message damages the relationship? Or what if I get stage fright and I don't know what to say? Jesus reminds us, It's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Let God speak through you as you make yourself available to talk to someone. Well, what if I get a hard question? Yes, we're called to be prepared to have an answer to anyone who asks for the hope that we have within us. But if you don't know something, admit it. I don't know the answer to that. Tell you what, I'll go do some research and I'll come back and let you know. By the way, that's better than making up an answer that you have no clue about. Then they find out later that you're crazy. Go find out. And maybe some answers are, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. I'm not sure anybody knows the answer to that one. What if I get rejected? Or what if I don't see myself as a very bold person? Your boldness isn't the issue. The book of Acts, we're reminded that as the disciples were proclaiming Christ and they're being persecuted, what it said of them is that they knew that these men had been with Jesus. Oh, that could be said of us. That people would say, you know, I don't know what that guy's deal is. I don't know what that gal's deal is, but man, it seems like they've been with Jesus. We have a story to tell. We need to tell of His grace and mercy. We need to tell of His presence and power. We need to tell of His comfort and guidance. Tell of His faithfulness and goodness. Tell of His provision and protection as He provides for us all day long and defends us from all of our enemies. We all have a story, and our God is so worth talking about to all who will listen. We need to desperately get the word out. Who do you need to tell today? Who do you need to talk to? What ministry do you need to be involved with? What do you need to plug into to make sure that the next generation hears about our amazing God? America needs our help. Now, I know the whole country, but no, America Walton. American Walton needs our help. Our country's got issues, we know that. But America Walton, who oversees our children's church ministry, you know, we talk about how, boy, look at this generation, you know. But if we're not going to talk to our kids, then we're the ones to blame. We need to talk to our kids. Man, I remember growing up, the church I had, I grew up in the church, very blessed. And I remember this old guy who was my Sunday school teacher. I must have been like second, first grade. I was just a little guy. Mr. Smith, the guy, you know, he walked like this. And he was very faithful, and he was there every Sunday teaching. And I think he taught that Sunday school class till his dying day, because he knew what was at stake in touching a heart of a little one. This is what we need to be first and foremost. Otherwise, we can all be blessed by the ministries we come and enjoy, but if we don't capture the next generation, it's over, guys. It's over. We've lost everything. And so we need those of you who can to step up. We need about two or three teachers for this fall. That'd be great. But there's a whole host of other opportunities in there. Maybe your thing isn't, you know, teaching children. I understand that. I'm not going to work in the nursery. I'm telling you right now. That's not my thing. I don't have the gift of nursery. But I'll work with junior hires. And there's some people, I'm not going near a junior hire, but I will. I like junior hires. You have to know what you're good at. But maybe you've got an incredible voice. And you've been singing in the shower all these years, and now it's time to sing, right? Sean, talk to Sean. Talk to your wife or, you know, someone close to you who understands whether or not you can sing or not. Might be good. But there's all kinds of things to get plugged into. And it's in the gym. There is freshly popped popcorn for you. Think about it. Hot dogs. They're Oscar Myers. We spared no expense. So we hope that you'll go right out this store here in a few minutes. And you'll sign up for a life group or to help with one of our ministries. There's so much to do. So much to do, and so little time. We have a lot to talk about. He is our God, and we need to tell the next generation. We need to tell each other and encourage each other. Would you please stand with me as we pray? After I pray, I'm going to dismiss those who are at the tables to kind of leave first. But then you're all welcome to go to the gym. I'm going to be at the side door today to greet you, so don't look for me there. I won't be there. I'll be over here. So I'll be glad to greet you after the service today. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you are to us. Lord, there surely are people that have come up on our mind, those that we need to tell about you, those that we've been holding back, we've been afraid. Lord, help us to step out of our comfort zones. Oh, Lord, may it be said of us that they recognize that we've been with Jesus. May that be our countenance as we love people, as we show them who you are. All that you are to us, as the psalmist proclaimed. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your incredible love for us. And now, Lord, we ask that you move in our congregation and you'd convict our hearts with those things that we need to do. Lord, it's one thing to hear your word. It's another thing to do it. May we not just be merely hearers, but doers. Not out of compulsion or out of a guilt trip, but out of gratitude because of all that you've done for us. May we respond with thankfulness and service to get the word out to the next generation. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise today. And all God's people said, amen. If you're grabbing a table,